Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. We're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is also on Blog Talk Radio, and a new network, Eternity Ready Radio. It's a family Christian network. So, thank God for all the ways that we can get the gospel out. Amen. We also have a YouTube channel, which is under my name, Susan Puzio. And we have a website, propheticnews.com. We also have a book that's available on Lulu and Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's available on so many different bookshops. Seed faith. Now, most of us know what seed faith is, right? It means that you give money and you get money. But we don't practice seed faith here at Prophetic News, and most real Christians don't practice seed faith because we give because we love people and we want to bless people. So it's really God chooses what he's going to give you, how much he's going to give you, and how much you can handle, that kind of thing. I believe that God determines what he is going to give us in this life, and not all of us are going to be rich, and we shouldn't strive to be rich, but we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto us. Anyway, I hope I'm coming in loud and clear. I just want to remind my listeners, in case you lose me, because in the past few weeks, not last week, we didn't get disconnected, but we were getting disconnected, and then you won't hear me for a while because then I have to try to reconnect. So in case we drop off, we'll be back on in a few minutes as soon as I can reconnect. So anyway, we're going to talk about a few different topics today, but I wanted to mention, I saw that Donald Trump, President Trump's niece, is putting out a book, and it's supposed to be like a tell-all, a family tell-all, and he had a brother who died when he was, I think, 46. He was young when he died, and he died mainly from alcoholism, and I think there was four children. I'm not sure. I know he has a sister and he has another brother. So yeah, I think there was four children in the Trump family. But the father, Fred Sr., he was the one that originally made the family fortune. And I believe he was a self-made man. So, and then Donald took over the real estate end of the business. I don't know exactly the living brother. I don't know exactly what he does. I know his sister is a judge. And so the niece is putting out a book, a tell-all book. But you can't always believe family members, because in any family, you might have nieces and nephews, and you might have cousins and aunts and uncles, and they don't really know anything about you, unless you've really spent time with them, and they get to know you as friends. But for the most part, you're not friends with everybody in your family. So family members can say things about you, or they can believe things about you, and it could be the furthest thing from the truth. And I know myself, a good friend of mine, their family doesn't really know them, and just because some of them are Catholic, especially, they don't really want to be around real believers, and they don't like you talking about real Christianity. It offends Catholics because they believe that there's no salvation outside of the Catholic Church. And so they believe that you need to come back to the Catholic Church. And so it causes all kinds of friction in families anyway. So it just because a family member writes a book about you doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth. The niece when the father died, when Donald's father died, Fred, she expected to get her father's share of the inheritance, but of course that's not necessarily the case. Usually a mother and a father leaves their inheritance to their children. They don't necessarily leave it to the grandchildren, you know. And for grandchildren to think that they're entitled to something after the fact, after the death. Well, anyway, she fought the will, and her brother, they contested the will, and she received a settlement, which she was supposed to, I guess there was a clause in the will that she couldn't talk about it later. She signed a confidentiality agreement. Yeah, that's it. But anyway, now she's writing a book. So she's basically rescinded her confidentiality agreement. And I would say it's a kind of get revenge on Uncle Donald. And anyway, I wouldn't put much stock in this book. Any of us that have gone through any kind of things, especially with family members, when it has to do with wills and things like that, you know how that goes. You know, that can go crazy. So it's a strange thing. And I think if somebody receives a settlement and they sign a confidentiality agreement, that they should abide by it. And they shouldn't come back later and try to write a book and make money when they've already received money. It doesn't make any sense to me, but I just wanted to bring that up. And we're living in some very, very strange times. Anybody could say anything about a person. How are you going to prove it? Most of the time, you can't prove the accusations. And you can, even if you try to prove accusations by presenting the truth, most people that aren't saved won't believe you anyway, because the devil is a liar. And people that don't know Christ, they're usually, I would have to say that they're, because they don't know the Father, and the only way to know the Father is to go through the Son, Jesus Christ, that they're of their father, the devil, and the devil's a liar. So because they lie, they think everybody lies about everything. And so no matter what you say to the unsaved world, they're not going to believe you. So even if you try to defend yourself, you're not always going to be believed. So sometimes it's better not to even try to defend yourself with people that are making false accusations against you. It's one thing if they slander you. Yeah. If they slander you, then and you're a public figure, then I think you should do something about that. But if somebody's criticizing you or something like that, you can't go crazy because somebody's criticizing you, like a lot of these false prophets and false teachers do. They can't handle criticism. And we're going to talk today a little bit about this lady, Jennifer LeClaire, who's an editor there at Charisma Magazine. I don't know if she's still on staff there. I haven't checked, but anyway, Charisma Magazine, they have no credibility whatsoever. They have promoted over the years every false prophet and false teacher that came down the road. They don't stand for anything. They just, whatever is going to make money for them, totally lost all respect for Stephen Strang, if I had any to begin with, which I didn't really, but the icing on the cake was a few months ago. Of course, he's put out a few books about President Trump, and he cozies up to Paula White because he had, and these men, they're just a bunch of wimps. All these men that won't stand up to Paula White, they're a bunch of wimps. That's all I have to say, is that you're being seduced by this Jezebel just so you could go and get around President Trump. Well, if God really wanted you around the president, he would get you there. You wouldn't have to go around Paula White to get there. And so Stephen Strang makes a statement that Paula White had this church in Lakeland, Florida. And although it was successful, he says, they had to give it up. Well, that's a lie. I was there. I documented the whole downfall of this church. I have videos on YouTube documenting what happened there. The electricity was turned off by the county in 2011 on this building that Randy and Paula White owned, that they weren't paying their electric bill. So how is that a success? How is it a success that the ministry filed for bankruptcy in 2014, although Paula White says she had nothing to do with it? Well, she did have something to do with it, because she was the one mainly that was making all the debts by going on 40-something television stations when she couldn't afford it. And they owed everybody money. They owed everybody money. You can look at the bankruptcy documents on the internet. They had, I think, 100 or 200 creditors that they owed money to. They weren't all Randy's bills. They were her bills, too. So how is that a success? But just because he wants to cozy up to Paula White, he lies. He lies. And the same thing with the Christian Post. Instead of posting, I'm still waiting for the story to come out. I'm waiting for one brave so-called Christian publisher of news. Of course, we do it, and there are other people on the internet that aren't afraid to say things that are true. But the ones that have the larger audiences, when are they going to tell people that Paula White and her husband told people to watch porn from her pulpit? No, they won't do it. The Christian Post won't do it. They know about it. Charisma Magazine, they won't do it. They know about it. Those are supposed to be the largest purveyors of so-called Christian news, but they won't stand up for anything. They're a bunch of wimps. Bunch of wimps because, the guy that heads up the Christian Post, he was invited to the White House. So he's cozying up to Jezebel too, Jezebel Paula White, and he won't stand for anything either. So don't pay any attention to these people or what they have to say, because they're wishy-washy. They don't stand up for anything. If we had more people that had courage standing up for the truth of the gospel, we wouldn't have such a mess in the church. But they're more concerned about their bank accounts than they are about getting the truth out. And that's what they're concerned about. I'm not worried about how much money people give me or they don't give me. I'm going to tell the truth. And God will take care of me. I trust God. I trust God. It's more important to tell people the truth about Jesus Christ than to lie to people about the Lord Jesus. Just because you want a big ministry or you want fame and fortune, I never saw such a bunch of cowards that say that they're brothers and sisters in the Lord, but yet when it comes to standing up for the gospel, they won't. They won't. And then they're so offended, like this lady, Jennifer Eclaire. Oh, she's so offended because she calls it heresy hunters. Well, she's welcome to come on this program. She's welcome to come on here. She can call me. She's welcome to call into the show if she would like. She's welcome to email me, and my email address is susan@propheticnews.com. And I do answer my emails. I don't have anybody else answering my emails, pretending to be me like some people do. And I am available. Most people that you contact, and I've contacted numerous people, they never answer you. And then they'll say, oh, you didn't come to me first about it. How was I going to get to you? You're not going to take my phone calls or answer my emails. So how am I supposed to get to you unless I put it out there in the public? So stop this nonsense already. And anybody that we talk about on this program is welcome to come on and defend yourself and let's have a debate. But most of them won't debate you. They won't debate you. I'm not afraid to debate anybody. I know what I stand for. I know what the truth is. I don't know everything, but there's some things I know for sure. So I am willing to debate you on it. I'm willing to debate you on tithing. I'm willing to debate you on seed sowing. I can debate you on those things because I know those things are wrong. There are certain things that I can talk about from personal experience and share, but most of these people will not engage you. They will go on the internet and cry like babies that they're being persecuted and people are criticizing us and they're talking about us. Well, most of the time, people that are doing that are doing it to bring to your attention something that you're doing that is displeasing to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is discrediting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're not aware of it. None of us are perfect. We all have blind spots. Some people can see our blind spots. Maybe we can't see them. Sometimes people will point out blind spots to you, and it's something that they're imagining, or sometimes it's jealousy or whatever. That happens too, where people will point things out and they don't even know what they're talking about. But like I said, Jennifer, you're more than welcome to come on my program and we will discuss the sneaky squid spirit. We will discuss the seer anointing. We will discuss the fact that Charisma Magazine won't stand up for anything and they promote heretics and thieves and liars in their so-called Christian magazine. They promote a spiritual advisor to the president that tells people to watch porn. How are you going to defend that? I would like to hear. I would like to hear Michael Brown defend that. Or anybody else around the president of the United States. I don't know if he's aware of this or not. Most likely he isn't. I don't really know if he ever even really spent a lot of time watching Paula White on television. I know he watched her a little bit, but did he ever really watch her for any length of time to see what a con artist she is? What about Franklin Graham and Robert Jeffers and Jack Graham? Did they ever spend any time watching this woman in action? And then they stand next to her and they promote her as some kind of a spiritual person. These are very strange times we're living in. Very strange times. Very strange times. And then you have brothers and sisters on the internet promoting somebody, a woman that sees visions of Jesus with rays of light coming out of his heart, Catholic visions of Jesus. And you have brothers in the Lord and sisters in the Lord promoting such a person. Crazy. So, like I said, they're welcome. Email me, Susan@propheticnews.com. I will answer the email and we will have a healthy debate anytime. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So, God help us as we see the day approaching, as the how we want to see the Lord. I'll tell you, we want to see the Lord, for the Lord to deliver us out of this mess, out of this messed up world that we're living in. I never saw so much hate and so much violence and the things that are happening. And these things shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. But the Bible says these things were going to happen in the last days. And most of us didn't think we were going to be around to see all these crazy plagues. And there'll be more plagues coming. More plagues coming. And it's the beginning of sorrow. So let's stay strong in the Lord, saints. Whatever comes your way, we have the word of God. We have the promises of God. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through this place. Just passing through. And we can stand strong because we know the truth. And the word of God is a comfort to us. Nobody can take that away from us because we have hid the word of God in our heart. Many of us who have been saved for many, many years, like myself, I've been saved now for almost 40 years. Hard to believe, but that's the truth. I know what Jesus has done for me, and I'm sure many of my listeners, you know too, what Jesus has done for you. So nobody can take that away. And nobody can take away the born-again experience that we all had. And we knew when we were born again. We knew when Jesus Christ changed us, and we were never the same. Nobody can tell me that Jesus is not real. Nobody can tell me the born-again experience is not real, because I know in whom I have believed. And most of my listeners do too. So we have to stand strong in these times, perilous times, and trust God above everything else. Trust God above everything else. So I'm going to play some of these audios that I have, but let's first hear what the scripture says about another Jesus and another gospel.
Chapter 11. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been truly made manifest among you in all things? Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. As the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Wherefore, because I love you not? God knoweth. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool. If otherwise, yet as a fool receive me, that I may boast myself a little. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. For ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In prisons more frequent. In deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas the king, kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands.
Now that's persecution. That's persecution. Not this whining bunch of babies crying their eyes out. Somebody's talking about me. Please stop already. Stop it. That is real persecution. Paul talking there. So I have a variety of clips here to play today. And I wanted to play this one clip. Dear Kenneth Copeland, he's so puffed up and he's so full of himself. And anyway, here's Kenneth Copeland talking about the coronavirus.
I'm talking now to Holy Spirit born again, Holy Spirit baptized, Holy Spirit speaking in other tongue, healing, believing Christians that don't watch anything but COVID-19 on the television, your faith is idle and dumb. Your angel has nothing to do because all you're listening to is the news broadcast and you're exalting this creep.
Come on.
That you have authority over.
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, yes, but Brother Copeland, what happens if I get it? Well, get healed, dear God.
Come on. That's right.
And you'll get it.
Sure.
Yeah, you'll get it. You'll draw it into your home.
Mm-hmm.
God will see, the devil will see to it that you get in contact with someone that has it.
Come on.
But when you stand in faith and say, no, I don't mind telling you, I will never have COVID-19. I will never have any other kind of sickness and disease because thank God forevermore, he bore my sins in his own body on the tree. And he would be dead to sin and live unto righteousness by whose stripes I was healed. Glory to God. I'm not healed now. I was healed then.
Yeah.
Come on.
And grace is giving it to me now. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm the healed and the devil's trying to give me the flu. Well, I don't take it.
Come on.
Amen.
And I have my shield up. Thank you very much. Glory to God.
Come on.
You couldn't give me that flu if you tried.
Yeah, okay, Kenneth. Let's see, next week or Sunday morning, are you going to have a healing line over there at your church? Is your church open for the public there in Texas? That church you have over there? Kenneth, are you going to have a laying on of hands service? I don't know if you've been having those. I'm going to check you out on Sunday. Let's go check out Kenneth Copeland on Sunday and see if, I think it's Eagle Mountain Church is the name of the church there in Fort Worth. Let's see if he's having a laying on of hands service, Kenneth, and we'll see just how brave he is, right? We'll see just how brave. I have news for you, Kenneth. When you die, guess what? You're going to die of heart failure. Because when your heart stops beating, you die. So you're going to die of at least one thing for sure. All of us are going to die of heart failure because when our heart stops, we die. Whatever else is going on in your body that can contribute to your death, but we're all going to of heart failure. So Kenneth Hagin, he believed just like you're talking. I believe Jesus is a healer. Not everybody gets healed of every disease. We do. Some people suffer, and I don't understand why. But I'm not going to be as arrogant as him when it comes to healing and why people get healed and blame the person. Oh, he's going to blame the person that because they don't say the right words and they don't make the right confessions or whatever, that they're going to bring coronavirus into their house somehow. Oh, please stop already. But Kenneth Hagin, the biggest proponent, I think, who Kenneth Copeland learned most of his teachings from, he died in an ICU of heart failure. I think he had a heart attack or something in the end, and he wound up in the ICU. So what happened? Didn't he have enough faith or what? Stop. Kenneth Copeland. So arrogant. He's going to blame people because they're afraid of something that they're going to get it because they're afraid of it. And there's millions of people all over the world that have it. So Did they have it because they made a bad confession? Or because the devil made sure that somebody crossed their path that have it? So ridiculous. The Bible says there's going to be plagues in the last day. There's going to be plagues. I don't care how many faith confessions he makes. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now here's another nut. Sid Roth. Oh, dear. This one is pretty funny. Now, this one's pretty funny. Here's Sid Roth.
I'm Michael Brown, filling in for Sid Roth. Welcome to my world where it is naturally supernatural.
But I get so excited and happy, really happy, when I see God answer a prayer. Whether it's a big prayer or whether it's a small prayer, I get excited. And this morning, guess what happened? The devil was messing with me. And I flushed the toilet, and it keeps running. The water keeps running and running. I've had that before, and I've done the whole thing with the plunger and calling someone to fix it, and I don't need that. You know, come on now. And so I immediately, no, it took me a few seconds, but almost immediately came to my senses, and I said, I bind you, spirit, in the name of Jesus, and command you to stop. And I said it with authority, and I proceeded by faith, I might add. I proceeded by faith, believing that when I flushed it, it would work, and it would stop the running water. And by the way, yes, I did all the other things first, and it didn't work. So I flushed it, and it flushes. And I said, thank you, Jesus. So that's my little story to start.
No, the Dr. Michael Brown on the Sid Roth, hosting the Sid Roth show. And then Sid Roth, and now God's into helping you fix your toilet. Oh, please. Oh dear, that one was really funny. But here's Jennifer LeClaire, and like I said, I think she was the editor there at Charisma. She might still be. I didn't check. My apologies, but now she has a ministry, so called, where she goes around and she holds these conferences. And they do dream interpretations and seer anointings. And Jennifer, she gets her feathers ruffled pretty fast about heresy hunters. And so let's listen to Jennifer and her sneaky squid spirit.
Jennifer LeClaire here with you, senior leader of the Awakening House of Prayer in South Florida, founder of the Ignite Prophetic Network. Ignite is expanding and growing by leaps and bounds. Check it out at ignitenow.org. Listen, I'm here today with you because I had a dramatic dream last night about the squid spirit. Now, some of you will not have heard of that. I've had so many people say, what is that? It doesn't exist. Spirits take on different fashions and shapes. So if you could see in the spirit realm, as I do, you would see that spirits sometimes take on the shape of different animals. You know, in the Bible, we see Ezekiel and Daniel and others seeing in the spirit very strange things, such as, you know, the four living creatures and all these different manifestations, half of a, you know, man, and there's a lion's face, and there's all these different very, very strange things that people see in Scripture. And when you have a seer gift, or when the Lord opens your eyes and allows you to see some things, you'll begin to notice that things take on the form or the shape of what may be familiar things to you. Other times they won't be familiar at all. When Ezekiel saw the wheel within the wheel, well, that's just wild. You know, John the Revelator saw all kinds of things in the spirit. I don't believe he had language to describe what it was that he was seeing in every instance. And so in the realm of the spirit world, there is a class of demons called water spirits. Some people call them marine demons, marine demons. And so with that, you have to understand that they take on descriptors or shapes. Leviathan, for example. Many of you remember the dream that I had about Leviathan a couple of months ago, and I did a special presentation of that. It's represented most of the time, crocodile. There are other spirits like the behemoth spirit, often represented by a hippopotamus. So if you could see, if you could peel back the layers of the spirit realm and see, you would come to know and understand that you're seeing a representation. So I'm not saying a hippo is a behemoth. I'm not saying a squid, you know, is this or that. I'm saying that there are representations. So I wanted to get that out of the way for all of you heresy hunters who come on here. Gosh, I wish I had remembered to bring you, I got to show you, I wish I had remembered, there was a heresy hunter that made a t-shirt in my honor trying to poke fun at me, and it says, second tentacles 2 and 18, no squid formeth against you shall prosper, because I began to teach on the squid spirit after a friend of mine kept getting attacked by it. And so we're going to dive into that. What does it look like? What does a squid attack look like? How would you discern if this was what was you? Listen, we're in a season of massive, extreme witchcraft. You've seen all the headlines about Christian witches. I prophesied that about a year ago. I prophesied the rise of Christian witches. And now we're seeing that these so-called witches calling themselves Christians. Of course, we know there's no such a thing. You can't mix the two. But the squid spirit is something that's not new to me. It's something that is very real. And it's something that I had a dream about last night. So let me talk about the dream for just a moment. And then we'll dive into more on this squid spirit. Now, last night I had a dream. And in the dream, there were these different squids and octopuses, both. And they were crawling around. They were reaching their tentacles outward. And I was in the dream, and it's almost as if no one understood the danger. No one could. And that's often the way it is in the dreams that I have regarding spiritual warfare, because so many times Christians are not discerning that there's danger lurking. They're not discerning that the enemy is roaming about like a roaring lion seeking, according to 1 Peter 5 and 8. They're not discerning that there is an agenda, an assignment, a hindrance, a harassing spirit that is targeting them for destruction. We need discernment in the body of Christ. So I was in this dream, and it was like these tentacles were reaching out. These squids and octopuses were just slithering along. They were like making their way forward. They were edging in, and nobody could see it. And that's all I remember of the dream. I dreamed a lot last night, and I just had a revelation while I'm teaching this. Wow. My goodness, I'm going to have to share this later on. Wow, I'm sorry, I just went off in the spirit. My goodness. So in the dream, there was these slithering, like they were not but really edging along, these octopuses, and it reminded me somewhat. You know,
Those octopuses and those sneaky squids, they really got over there on into Charisma magazine, that's for sure. I mean, talk about, there's a lot of Christian witches. Yeah, the Charisma magazine promotes most of them. Yeah, the witches and the warlocks over there selling Jesus out for 50 pieces of silver. Jennifer, you got a problem. Notice the heresy hunter made a t-shirt for her. Made a t-shirt. Anyway, here's part two.
You know, we went to an aquarium recently in Atlanta, a prayer in Atlanta, one of our hubs. And we went and we saw these octopuses and these squids in real life. And it was fascinating to me because I've been, you know, monitoring or studying these animals, because many times you can characterize or get some level of discernment about a spiritual attack if that spirit is represented by an animal. For example, Leviathan with the crocodile. Okay, the crocodile has very simple problems. Okay, mammoth, mean-spirited animal. And so that's representing the behemoth. The python, deadly, chokes the life out of you, sneaks up behind you, right? So that is a characteristic of an actual python, right? So the spirit behaves in much the same way. So by studying the animals that represent these spirits, you can sometimes get a lot of insight and revelation into how they attack. And so I was watching these octopuses and these squids in the aquarium, and I was like, man, these things are wicked ugly. I mean, these things are, first of all, they're spineless. And that's one of the things you understand about this squid spirit is that it's spineless. It seems tough and it seems bad. It seems like an issue of dire straits, but really, if you'll stand up to this thing, it's spineless. It's an invertebrate. The squid is an invertebrate. Are you hearing me? It's dealing with these are very, very serious symptoms. In the book, we talk about recognizing the symptoms of python spirit. We talk about the twisted lies of Leviathan, the spirit of Rahab, which really impacts prophetic voices. And people don't talk about that. Watch now. People will start talking about it. Thank God this will begin to get exposed because of the Holy Spirit's revelation in this book. Also, the merman spirit that's in there as well, the behemoth spirit that's in there as well. There's lots of spirits and strategies to break through. But with the squid spirit, you know, fear can open the door. Fear can open the door to a lot of spirits. And we have to understand that the enemy doesn't need an open door for attack, but fear will bring an attack if you walk in fear. I'm not talking about a moment of fear, but if you're afraid of the devil, well, that just gives him an open door. The good news is that we can sever the tentacles. So I want to pray for you in just a minute. There's testimonies of freedom in the book, but I want to pray for you in just a moment. I've given you a lot about what the squid spirit is. I go much deeper in the book, but I wanted to sort of whet your appetite so you understand this is real. Hallelujah. It is absolutely real. It is more than real. You know, the spirit world is more real than the physical world. All this around me is going to fade away, but the spiritual world lasts forever. It's eternal. Amen. So I want to pray for you in just a moment. I want to come against this. Maybe some of you are dealing with that. There's somebody watching me right now where you think you're having migraines and it's not really a physical issue. It's a spiritual issue. And this is why the doctors can't figure out how to make you feel better. This is why it's like it's spread sometimes to the whole body. It's because it's a squid attack. Now, some of you may think I'm crazy. That's all right. When the squid attacks you, you know where to find me. Amen. And I see that a lot of times with those who don't believe some of these things are real. It's like the enemy says, oh, okay, well, let me just show you how real I am. Amen? It's the same way with God. Some people don't believe in God, and he'll show them. He'll bring them a power encounter. He'll give them a dream or a vision and say, yeah, I'm real. And so you can mock. I know there's a mocking spirit watching me right now. I bind your wagging tongue in the name of Jesus. I command you to be silent in the name of the Lord. And all you heresy hunters who are going to go nuts with this, make sure you spell my name right, because last time you spelled it wrong. Okay, so if you're not accurate with the spelling of my name, my friends, how can anybody expect to believe anything you say? If you don't have accuracy, you don't have anything. And some of you also, please quote scripture right. Would you, heresy hunters, please quote the scripture right. Just think as second tentacles. And when you replay this back and scramble my voice, make sure that you just like make my hair look good. All right? Amen? So let me pray for you in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Lord, that you are a good, good God, and you are our shield and our buckler. You are a very present help in time of need. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. I thank you, Lord, that these squids, these water spirits, they're under our feet. But, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you've given us strategies in your word. You have exposed these demons, and you've given us strategies and prayers that we can pray based on the word of God to combat these wicked demons in the name of Jesus. I break the power of squids witchcraft.
Oh. I mean, what can I say? Oh my. Jennifer, you're reading too much science fiction. Too much science fiction there, Jennifer. I mean, talk about fear. That's one thing about the Word of Faith movement is they're the fear mongers. They make you afraid of everything. You have to be afraid of squids and frogs and hippopotamus and all these different things that are coming to attack you. Yeah, they say, well, if you have fear, well, there's a certain things that we should be afraid of, there's the rattlesnakes nearby here where I live. Now, when I go walking outside, I try to be aware that I don't step on a rattlesnake. So that's a healthy fear. There's certain things that we better have a healthy fear about. But if I had to spend all my days being afraid of all these spirits that are attacking me all the time, yeah, there's a devil. And the devil is roaming about seeking whom he may devour. But yet I know Jesus Christ is Lord. So when God is for me, then who can be against me? I don't spend all my days just studying this spirit and that spirit. And it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And she's apparently written a book. She's got a whole book about all these spirits, but that's a new one. I mean, I've heard her talking about this before, but as long as I've been a Christian, it's just in the past year or so that I heard that she was talking about these things. I never heard about these marine spirits and these squid spirits. But that's what happens when you compromise, when you work for Charisma Magazine and you compromise the gospel promoting false prophets and false teachers and the money changers. That's what happens. You start losing it. And you start imagining things. Well, they talk about, I don't know if she mentioned it in that clip, but she talks about the spirit of divination being a python, and they're talking about Greek mythology. Well, what does Greek mythology have to do with the Bible? It doesn't have anything to do with the Bible. So why would you even get a reference like that? That doesn't make any sense to me. But they're big on talking about the heretic hunters. Just because somebody points something out to you that maybe you're teaching false, you're a false teacher and you have some things that really can't be proven by the Word of God, that doesn't mean that they're a heretic hunter. That the Bible says a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. Now, the word heretic isn't in all the Bible translations. So you might not even find that word in whatever Bible translation you're using. And it is an important word. And it's one that a lot of these people overlook. They overlook it. But I'm going to play these clips here I have of Paul Crouch Sr. talking about heretic hunters and Benny Hinn talking about he wanted to have a Holy Ghost machine gun. And then here's also the so-called Reverend Ike. I mean, talk about a heretic. He actually probably coined the phrase before anybody else talked about it. But let me play Ike first.
This wouldn't let me on. I had never seen anything like that. Here's this colored preacher in an orange tuxedo and orange shoes. And here he is with all of these... thousands of people. We never saw anybody at Madison Square Garden speaking to these kind of folks. but Billy Graham.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, here he is, and listen what he's telling them. God wants you to prosper. Why does he tell these people that? You know, I find out also, it seems to be sometimes that the bureaucracy, whatever that is, tries to keep liberating messages away from people. And not just on a racial basis, but on a religious basis.
Okay.
The preachers and the theologians and the theological cemeteries and the heresy hunters were scared to death, it seems, when I told people, for example, God is in you, and there is no more God in me and the preachers than there is in you.
Oh, yeah. And boy, talk about somebody that was telling people about the prosperity gospel. I think at one point he had like 11 Rolls Royces. Oh, dear. But I found it interesting that I heard him coin that phrase back. Oh, that must have been in the 1970s, I think, when he said that. Here's Benny Hinn and the Holy Ghost machine gun.
Somebody's attacking me because of something I'm teaching. Let me tell you something, brother. You watch it. Dear God in heaven, I wish I can just... They call it the ministry of my foot. You know, I've looked for one verse in the Bible. I just can't seem to find it. One verse that said, if you don't like him, kill him. I really wish I could find it. But don't mention people's names on your radio program and your TV program thinking you're doing God's service. You're not. You stink, frankly. That's the way I think about it. Sometimes I wish God would give me a Holy Ghost machine gun. I'll blow your head.
Yeah, that was Benny. He'll blow your head off if you criticize anything he's teaching. Of course, that was back before we had the internet. And before we had the internet, it was tough going because it was much harder to get the message out about these false prophets and false teachers. If you would try to write letters to the editor, at one point Charisma Magazine had a policy where you could write a letter to the editor, but then they wouldn't publish your letter. And then if you tried to take an ad out in there refuting some of these false prophets and false teachers, you couldn't take the ad out. And so it was very, very difficult at one time. Now it isn't, because we have, thank God, we have the internet, so we can get the message out there and we can expose these false prophets and false teachers. Oh, don't mention them by name. What do you mean don't mention them by name? How are people, are supposed to figure it out? Like, what are they supposed to get? Messages in their head about who you're talking about? The Apostle Paul said, I cease not to warn you day and night for 3 years about wolves getting in, false apostles, and workers of iniquity. That was then, though, when... They had control of the airwaves, and so they were telling people how to think. It's kind of like now when you have the news, the so-called news on television, and they try to tell you what to think, and then they use a soundbite and take things people say out of context. We don't do that. We don't take things out of context that people say. We tell you, we play it for you, and you can hear it. Exactly what they're saying. We don't take things out of context and try to make things up about people when you hear the news, because they're going to tell you how to think. And back in those days, especially in the 1980s, TBN and PTL and those people, they told you how to think about the Word of God. And you couldn't mention a name. You couldn't call anybody out. And so it was a lot tougher then, but now they can't keep people quiet. They can't keep people quiet. Hallelujah. Anyway, here's Paul Crouch, Sr.
Distinction between himself and...
Never, never. You never can do that in a covenant relationship.
Do you know what else that's settled then tonight?
This
hue and cry and controversy that has been spawned by the devil to try and bring dissension within the body of Christ, that we're gods. I am a little God.
Yes. Yes.
I have his name. I'm one with him. I'm in covenant relationship. Yes. I am a little God. Critics,
you are anything that he is.
Of scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, blocking God's bridges. When the harvest is perishing out there, and God's calling the party to come together, let him sort out all this doctrinal doo-doo. I don't care. And I want to say to all you scribes, Pharisees, heresy hunters, all of you that are going around picking little bits of doctrinal error out of everybody's eyes and dividing the body of Christ and arguing over splinters and doctrinal hairs and dissipating and wasting all of our time when the world's going to hell, I say get out of God's way. Quit blocking God's bridges, or God's going to shoot you if I don't.
And God's going to shoot you if I don't. Yeah. Heretic hunters gang picking out doctrine. What do we have? What do we base our faith on? We base our faith on doctrine. Thus saith the Lord. That's what it's based on. Oh, he didn't like anybody calling him out. He didn't like anybody calling him out. And they basically controlled what people thought, especially about giving. They were the biggest thieves going, let me tell you. They were thieves. And they had a sham marriage. Paul and Jan didn't even live together. That was the testimony of their granddaughter, Brittany Coper. And Jackie Elnor did an interview with her. It's available on online if you want to find it. And she's the daughter of Paul Crouch Jr. And she said it herself, that they didn't live together. And, of course, after they both died, they had two separate mansions, which were sold. You can also see those. There's pictures of those. I think the LA Times put out articles, and they showed the homes. But Paul Sr. had his own mansion, and Jan had her own mansion. So they led separate lives. And Paul Crouch Sr. was accused of having a homosexual affair with I think his name was Lonnie something. I can't remember his name, but it was never proven. It was an accusation, and the man wrote a book about it. I think the guy was his driver or something like that, but. He wrote a book about it, and then they paid him off so that he wouldn't publish the book to silence him. So why do you pay somebody off if it's not true? If somebody is making that kind of an allegation about somebody, you don't pay them off. You know, you don't pay them off. You say, no, I'm going to fight it because it's not true. But they paid the guy off. I don't know whatever happened to that manuscript, but it's probably out there somewhere. And also Jan supposedly had her boyfriends, and there was a video that was on, I don't know if it's still on YouTube, with her kissing her boyfriend, the guy that played Jesus at the Holy Land Experience. There was a video of her in the parking lot with this guy. I don't know if it's still there, but I think she said that it was friendly, but I don't know. I don't think you kiss your male friends if you're not married on the lips. I think that's, you know. But they want you to believe that even though you're seeing it with your eyes, it's not really true. So they both had their issues. And I think the reason that they really had these struggles is because they sold out the gospel. If they might have started out pure. Maybe they did when they first were going to start Christian television network that they started, or they called it Christian, it really turned out not to be for the most part because of the thievery and the lying that was going on. The conning, oh, their telephones were terrible. They were just terrible. But I think that when you turn your back on the gospel, and if you have any kind of conscience at all, it has to affect you. And it usually affects you in the area of your morals. He had an alcohol problem, Paul Sr. later on in his life. Jan had a problem with men. And so what good did it do them if they wound up like that? It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. They could have had a network and they would have kept running on selling the airtime alone. But they bought real estate all over the world and made people think that they needed these donations to keep the network going. They really didn't. They made a fortune on airtime. It was enough to keep the network going, but they bought millions and millions of dollars worth of properties, and they just kept getting richer and richer and richer and losing out with the Lord in the end. It's not worth it. It's better to live a honest life before the Lord, and if you're going to preach the gospel, don't be a beggar. You don't need to beg and sell yourself out, sell your soul the way that people have done in the past. This is a new time, and we want to change things. That's what the Reformation is all about, and we want to finish the Reformation and see the church reformed to be that spotless bride that Jesus is coming for. We try to do things out of a pure heart and for the right motives, not like we've seen in the past. We have to learn from the past, and we learn not to make the mistakes that have been made by so many of these ministries that they wind up on the gospel junk heap. They wind up old and sad, and wouldn't it be great if some of these people can repent publicly and really sell out to Jesus? It would have been wonderful if Jan or Paul could have said in the end before they died, "I'm sorry for all the things that I did. I apologize to the body of Christ." That would have been wonderful. Just think of how many, talk about people being one to the Lord. But for what people see now, for the most part, when they turn on television and they look at these programs, it's awful what they're seeing. It's not a representation of the real gospel. So whenever they tell you that, oh, you're hurting the cause of Christ by being a heretic hunter, I don't think so. who's really hurting the cause of Christ? The false prophets and the false teachers are the ones that are hurting the cause of Christ because of how they're representing the gospel and how they represent Jesus Christ. He's some God that's got his hand out for money. You have to put money in his hand, and then that's how you get him to do things for you. You don't have to give God any money. He doesn't need money. He doesn't need your money. You don't have to give him any money. Nobody ever walked up to Jesus and handed him money to do anything. So no matter what preacher tells you that you have to sow seed and you have to tithe and you have to do all that, it's a lie. It's a lie. You never had to pay your mother and father off to get them to bless you. They loved you. Most parents love their children unconditionally, and God loves us so much more. That's one of the biggest lies going. and what does it look like to a lost and dying world? Well, let's be heretic hunters. Yeah. Amen. 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 So let's hear it from the Word of God. Let's hear it from the Word of God so that there's no doubt in our minds. We'll hear what God's Word has to say about it. Amen.
Chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. And let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be to you all. Amen. The end of the epistle of Paul to Titus. Chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear.
That's right. Pay attention to doctrine, no matter what they say. No matter what they say. And also, a lot of these people, they like to throw up that verse in Matthew where you're supposed to go to your brother. And so, but What does the Bible say there about heretics in Titus? It says a heretic after the first and second admonition, which means you tell them they're a heretic. You confront them publicly. And if they don't receive it, you reject them. You reject them. But the false prophets and the false teachers, they can't receive it. They can't receive the admonition. It's a sign of humility for all of us that we can receive correction, because we all miss it at times in our life. All of us do. And we should be able to receive from one another, from our brothers and sisters in Christ that love us enough to tell us the truth. We all love the truth. And so, let us be mindful of the devil's devices and how he tries to divide the real believers, and he tries to make people question things that are in God's word. And so it's more important than ever for us to stay in the word of God, to know the word of God, so we can stay strong in these times that we're living in. Who knows what's awaiting us next, really? You just don't know. We never thought that we were going to be going through the things we're going through right now with this plague covering the whole earth and things being shut down, businesses being shut down, churches being shut down where people can't congregate. Although that shouldn't be a reason why anybody should fall away from the faith. And to me, God is showing us that we can't put our faith and trust in human beings. We learn from each other, and God does give us teachers and pastors. He said he would. Evangelists, prophets, the fivefold ministry gifts. But in the end, it's between you and the Lord and his word. We stand strong on it with the power of his word. Whether our internet is cut out, whether our phones are cut out, whether they tell us that you have to stay in your house and you can't go anywhere, and you can't go to the supermarket and you can't go to work, and no matter what, we have Jesus. We have his word. Even if they take Bibles away from people, you can have the word of God in your heart. If you read it and study it, and it's amazing how when the time comes that you can pull up those scriptures that you read when you're going through a crisis in your life. And there's probably many of you listening that are going through a crisis in your life. Maybe the loss of a loved one, which is devastating, or you're going through a financial hardship, which many people are right now. That you can, if you took the time to read God's word, you have that word in your heart, and you can bring up those scriptures when you need them, something to hang on to. So we hang on to the rock, and that rock is Christ. And we fellowship with the brethren. We fellowship around this program with the many listeners that listen all over the world. We congregate here too, and we assemble. People can assemble over the airwaves, even if they can't be physically together. We can still assemble and fellowship with one another and encourage one another. And we know we have a great hope. We know that this earth is not our home. I think we all know it more than ever right now. So we know that we're going to be with Jesus one day. We're going to be with those loved ones that have gone before us that knew the Lord. We can comfort ourselves with that thought. It is comforting. Let me tell you that I know for myself. When I think of the fact that I'll see my loved ones again, it's very, very comforting. So, be encouraged, saints. We win in the end, amen? We win in the end, and we have to be on the lookout for all those little foxes that are out there. And, you know, we thank God that we can spend this time together. Look forward to it myself, and I always get something out of getting ready for these programs, especially when I get to spend time in the Word. It's so encouraging, isn't it, to hear those scriptures, and it just makes you feel better, really. And sometimes you say to yourself, why didn't I listen to that before, because that really helped me. So anyway, that's our program for today. I want to thank everybody that stopped by in the chat room and everybody that's listening from Canada, especially, and the United Kingdom, South Africa, Germany, France, Australia, New Zealand, so many places around the world. And stay strong, saints, no matter where you are and no matter what you're going through. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today as your Lord and Savior, the Prince of Peace, the only person that can give you peace is Jesus Christ. He was born of a virgin. He walked the earth for 33 years. He died on the cross and he rose from the dead. And remember that he ascended into heaven in a body. He's there in heaven. Most people know that story. Maybe they don't believe it, but most people have heard that story. Jesus Christ is real. He's a savior. He is the Prince of Peace. You can't get peace from trying to enforce laws, which laws are great, but we can see right now that there's so much lawlessness going out around, and most people aren't following the laws that are there. But God said he'll write his law in your heart, and you'll know the difference between right and wrong. So give your life to Jesus today. The third chapter of John says you must be born again. Jesus said it. Ye must be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. That's what happens when you're born again. You change. God changes you in an instant. Old things pass away, and all things become new. All the things that you did in your past are washed away. God doesn't bring them up. Maybe people might bring them up, and yeah, people like to do that. They like to bring up your past, and you did this, and you did that. Yeah, we all know what we did. But Jesus Christ forgave all of us for whatever we did, and that old person doesn't live anymore. That person died and was buried the day that we were born again. So we don't have condemnation for those things. Romans 10 says confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you have to confess the Lord Jesus and repent, because we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some people say, well, I don't sin. I'm a good person. You're not good enough. If you were good enough, Jesus would not have had to die for you and for me. No, we're not good enough. None of us are. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But yet he did it. He did it for us. So it's something you'll never regret. I never once regretted being born again. I've had my questions with the Lord, and sometimes we've had some issues, or I've had some issues where I didn't quite understand some of the things that I was going through, but I never once regretted being born again and having my new life. I would never go back to the old life. Never. Never. And only Jesus can change a life. Only Jesus. So God bless you all today. And we'll see you next week, okay? Bye-bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, there'll be no sorrow there.